Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Controversial content right off the press, hot off the press, via Brandon Marcello, who graded every single new college football coaching staff from the 2022 offseason. I think the original brainstorming pitch assignment was grade the head coaching hires, rank the top 10 best staffs or something. And Marcello's like, nah, we're going to do all 29, and we're gonna piss a lot of people off today. So it's up on 24/7 Sports, 1-29. Florida's won. TCU's got a D+ in there somewhere. So we got Brandon Marcello coming on. We're going to spare him by asking him about the negatives, because I don't want there to be a hit out on Brandon Marcello in Fort Worth, Texas. But he will get into the blowback he's getting and how he went about doing this and why he just really isn't too worried about the coaches who are DMing him expletives. So here's Brandon Marcello.
All right. Brandon Marcello joins us right now, fresh off completing a task that, Brandon, I'm a little worried you're going to lose a few sources here. This is maybe the ballsiest content of the offseason. You ranked every new coaching staff in college football, not just the head coach, but the staff. So all 9 guys or whatever around them as a staff, 1-29, or really 1-28. And then Hawaii is an incomplete. Can you just start with like what gave you the idea to do this and do it in such an in-depth way that I'm not, this is not hyperbole. No one has ever done this content.
You know, I just know a lot of people, including myself, we just kind of focus on the head coach and grade them. And I actually started thinking, you know what, I need to grade, maybe just look at the entire staff, including support staff. But that was way too heavy of a lift. And a lot of those support staffers are never announced and you have a hard time tracking them down. So I just kept it to on-field staff and also philosophy and looking at things and why certain guys were hired. This isn't just a list and graded based solely off of, oh, that's a big name or that name sounds familiar. These are guys that, does it fit the system? Does it fit the coach? Does it fit the atmosphere and the environment at that school? And also, you know, you got to, context is king. And so you got to put in context, you know, a Georgia Southern staff or a UMass staff is not going to be comparable in any shape or form to USC. It depends on where you're located. So I took all of that together, distilled it down to a ranking and a grade system. And that's how I came about with all this.
Ignoring the message board feedback, have you gotten any, I thought we were friends, man, what the heck, text today?
Yes. Yeah, I have. And you're right. I probably might lose some sources here. I got one message that is not safe for even prime time today. In fact, I just sat down at the computer and looked at my direct messages and I got one with a couple of cuss words in it. That was to be expected. Listen, I've upset people and coaches before, and sometimes you lose them. Sometimes they learn to respect you, and sometimes they just think you're an idiot. And, you know, that's okay. It's my opinion.
All right, let's, you know what, to keep the heat off you, we'll just talk about the good. We won't dip into the D pluses. I agree with you that Florida, just like top to bottom, deserves an A plus. Billy Napier, I think they hired him knowing that not only would he recruit, but he would build a staff and build a culture. The thing that had stood out to me about Florida, Brandon, is the ingenuity of some of their titles and all that. What made them number one for you?
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of us were kind of making fun of them and kind of smirking when we saw the game changer coordinator title handed to the special teams coach. But with Napier, you know, I think a lot of people in the business and industry are familiar with them. And, you know, as a quick aside, you know, a lot of these grades were helped developed by talking to industry insiders and other coaches and what they think of these staffs. So this isn't just me kind of spouting off. But anyway, having said that, Napier is notorious for building amazing staffs at Louisiana and doing so in a different way than a lot of other coaches in the country. It's not just handing out weird special titles. It's, hey, I'm going to have two offensive line coaches instead of just one. Why is that? He says, because listen, rarely do you just see one secondary coach coaching all five positions these days. You have two back there. So why won't I have two offensive line coaches when it's arguably the most important unit on the entire football team, protecting the quarterback? So he did that at Florida and he did it at Louisiana as well. But also, you know, the support staffers he's hired, and some of these guys that are on staff on the field, they have other responsibilities. Some of them are like kind of their alumni reach out guys and things like that. He doesn't necessarily just have a support staffer whose job is, you know, they have three different responsibilities off the field. They're the alumni guy, they're the high school relations guy and all that. Well, he's actually kind of split that up with a lot of the on-field coaches, because some of these guys, especially if they have certain recruiting areas that they go after, they're going to be talking to those high school coaches, for example, more so than a guy sitting in the office putting together camps. So he does things a little bit differently, and his staff is just massive, and he goes about it a different way. And add all that to that, I just think that he hired some really, really good names. And the top name on that board to me is Corey Raymond, the former cornerbacks coach at LSU. Listen, if Florida didn't get him and somehow lure him away from LSU, every single staff in the SEC would have tried to hire him. He's an amazing recruiter, a fantastic coach, and has connections everywhere. And boy, considering what Florida really needs to do in rebuilding their secondary, just when we like kind of pinpoint things for them, Corey Raymond was a gigantic hire for them.
Oklahoma and USC will always be linked this offseason. OU came in at number two for you, Brandon. USC is number seven. Explain why Brent Venables' staff gets higher marks than Lincoln Riley's.
Well, I think more than anything, Venables, who came from a school where it was consistency and keeping the same coaches around was key, he goes to OU and he keeps around four assistant coaches who did not follow Lincoln Riley to USC. Meanwhile, USC brought a lot of Oklahoma staffers with him, including Alex Grinch, the defensive coordinator, to USC. But Venables said, hey, I'm going to try and keep as many core guys as I can that I really feel comfortable with here at OU. And Venables is an OU guy in a lot of ways. He obviously was an assistant there previously, has a lot of connections there. But he also said, I'm not just going to quote unquote bring Clemson assistants with me over here. Now, Ted Roof, a veteran guy, he was at Clemson as an analyst, but he's not a Clemson guy. He's not a guy that was just sitting there for years and years and was going to follow Brent Venables wherever he went because he was his guy. But he goes and hires Jeff Lebby from Ole Miss, as you mentioned. Brandon Hall, who I think was a great hire for them as a safeties coach, who's previously a defensive coordinator at Troy. He's going to be a Power 5 defensive coordinator here within the next 2 to 3 years. Ted Roof, as we mentioned. Miguel Chavis, coaching defensive ends. He was an analyst at Clemson. That is a rising star. Keep an eye on him. Todd Bates, fantastic coach with Clemson. Had some amazing, obviously, defensive tackles there over the last couple of years. And then, of course, you go and get the Alabama quarterbacks coach, who, I mean, listen, that maybe wasn't necessarily a move that that they had to pay, you know, a lot of money for and convince him for. But with Jay coming in, it just made a lot of sense for them. So I like that. But more than that, I think Brandon Hall is probably the best, maybe overlooked hire on that staff. But outside that, I really like him keeping DeMarco Murray and Cale Gundy on staff as running backs coach and receivers coach, respectively. This is a really good, strong staff, a good mix of OU guys, so to speak, along with some really top minds and rising stars. Veteran experience, new guys trying to get some experience, but also some guys that are really on the rise really fast. I really like that staff. And then as for USC, you know, they're not much further down, though. I've been getting a lot of messages saying, how do you rank them seventh? Well, they still have a B+. The issue is that Lincoln Riley, I think, was very obvious to me. He just said, I'm just going to bring my guys with me. We're going to run my system, which has been very successful at OU. And then I'm going to try and complement that with some really good recruiters. I think he could have maybe used one more guy with some really good West Coast ties. I say that with this also. They're killing it already in the transfer portal and recruiting. So this grade is probably a little bit lower than it should be in the long run. But at first glance, just looking at the staff and what it's going to pan out in the next couple of years, I'm not so certain this is a staff. This is just my opinion. This is a staff that's going to stick together in 2 years that they're going to be able to build off of. So this might be a very short-lived staff for Lincoln Riley. And because of that shakiness, I end up giving a B+ instead of an A.
Two more schools to ask you about. We'll stay in the Pac-12. what was the industry word on Oregon, which you have third here with a letter grade of A? When I look at the head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, I see a pretty young staff, which that gives me concerns, but the people you talk to must be really high on Dan Lanning being able to wrangle this all together.
Yeah, the big get for them was Tosh Lapoy. I mean, listen, Dan Lanning and him, they worked together at Alabama. They've known each other for a while. There was talk that he might be a position coach. He ended up making him the coordinator. That's the biggest hire in all of this. But what they've got are some real some hunting dogs, so to speak, on the recruiting trail. And he needs that because USC is going to win more battles against Oregon than they have in the last 5 to 6 years. And it's going to be difficult for Oregon on the recruiting trail. And I would say with a lesser staff recruiting wise for Oregon, they would be absolutely killed, I think, by this USC recruiting effort we're seeing. But Oregon's got a staff, unlike USC, that is filled with young rising stars that I think, because they know each other very well, they've worked with each other, some of them together, they're going to stick around. And if they have success, like there are a little bit right now on the recruiting trail, I think they could stick together for the long haul for 3 to 4 years and be able to build something there to where they're able to compete against USC on the recruiting trail as well as on the field. And so I think that because of that, considering, I think, to me, how fast this staff could have fallen down for Oregon based off of the lack of names that were out there that were willing to go to Oregon, this was about as good of a staff that Dan Lanning could have built. But the problem, again, the weakness is a lot of the lack of ties to the West Coast. But he supplemented that with Tosh Lapoy, who coached at Cal previously, as we just mentioned, Kenny Dillingham, who's an Arizona guy, has a lot of connections out there, despite just coming from Florida State, Auburn, and Memphis previously as an offensive coordinator. Junior Adams, who was the co-OC and receivers coach at Washington as well. They've got a really good mix of some guys who have West Coast experience, have coached out there, have also coached in the Pac-12. And I like the mix. I like the effort that they're going to be showing on the recruiting trail. To be quite honest, I think the biggest question I've got about this Oregon staff is this really going to be an upgrade on offense when it comes to on the field and game day coaching? That's actually my biggest question about this staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the Florida State offensive operation the last few years was up and down, and that describes Bo Nix. So that will be an interesting task for Kenny Dillingham. You mentioned it was sort of tough to weigh Georgia Southern versus USC, and Georgia Southern landed a spot ahead of USC here in your rankings. I think it's fair to say there are people out there right now who, for the first time, are learning that Clay Helton landed as a head coach somewhere at Georgia Southern, obviously. Tell me about his staff and what he might have learned from his time at USC.
You know, listen, the reason why this grade is actually not an A or maybe an A+ is because of Clay Helton. I think he is a good coach. He's a good staff builder. I just don't know about him as a preparation coach when it comes to preparing for games. But he built a tremendous staff here. Again, context is king when it comes to where he's at. He's at Georgia Southern, and yet he landed Brian Ellis, who helped co-coordinate the nation's #2 offense at Western Kentucky last year. Now, he wasn't calling plays. That's not his offense, but he took a lot from that, I'm sure, in that experience. And now he's going to be helping call plays there at Georgia Southern. You had Ryan Applin, who's a fast rising star, previously a quarterback at Arkansas State, a record setting quarterback for Hugh Freeze, has really quickly broken into the coaching industry, having come from Arkansas State as a running backs coach. He comes on board at Georgia Southern. So, and they also get Marcus Davis, who was receivers coach at Hawaii, and you're going, wow, that doesn't make sense. Well, Marcus Davis is an SEC guy. He grew up in Florida, played at Auburn, and he's got a lot of connections in the Southeast there, especially in those rural areas of Georgia. He's going to, I think, be their star as a recruiter for them and trying to get some of these guys that slip through the cracks, so to speak. But this is a staff that's not only built with some young guys with a lot of connections in that area, but also some veteran coaches as well. And the fact of the matter that he was able at Georgia Southern to get pretty good coaches at rival schools in the same region from UAB and Arkansas State and Western Kentucky, that's huge to me. And I think that this is a tremendous staff he built for a Georgia Southern football staff.
Yeah, sometimes the schools that don't get the most coverage will be absolutely the ones who latch on and promote this when we first did our transfer rankings. And South Florida had the number one class for a while because they had a lot more than anybody else. They made a graphic about that. So maybe Georgia Southern comes in with the we're number six in the Brandon Marcello rankings of the new college football coaching staffs. Thank you, Brandon. Once again, go find Brandon Marcello on Twitter at @bmarcello. Our producers, Lance Glenn, does a great job every day with College Football Daily and many more podcasts in the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Trey Scott. The 24/7 Sports top 247 rankings for the class of 2022 will be coming out Wednesday, mid-morning. Make sure you're looking out for that. We'll be covering those rankings on Thursday's episode of the College Football Daily. Talk to you then.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.